Oui.
Noel, I thought you were going to sit up here and give me some support. You notice I didn't say anything to the men. My mama didn't raise no foolish boys. I'm Russ Strange, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm real happy to be here with you, and I appreciate whoever's responsible for it. I never know who might put me in the wrong or the right place. I got a note here from my wife, and she says to tell all of y'all thank you for taking her husband out of her way for the weekend. And she has down here XYZ. Check your zipper before you stand up, Russell. And I have checked my zipper and it's closed. I thoroughly enjoyed the afternoon. If you don't think this program works wonders, at 11:30 this morning, a lovely lady, 45 years old, I didn't ask her age, she just volunteered to give it to me. And she picked me up to bring me over to the hotel. I do not drive because of my lack of vision. And she came in and spoke to my wife, and my wife said, Vivian, you and Ruff will have a nice weekend. And we just drove off with her standing there looking at us. The benefits of this program are beyond the wildest imagination. I have been blessed and privileged and honored to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Since the first time, February the 11th, 1949, I fell in love with the program the first 1 hour that I was in the meeting. 21 months later, I went out and proved the old-timers who were there that they were wrong. I was 27 years old. They were 47, 57, and 77. They said, you're too young to be in here. Well, 21 months later, I got drunk for 4 days, and I showed them that I qualified for this program. And it's been a great 51 years. I count from the last drink. I play the game according to Hall. My wife and I, we celebrate from the very beginning, February of 49. The 4 days that I drank there after 21 months, I call that my convincer. It convinced me that I cannot drink alcohol successfully. Whatever the hell that means, I don't know. But I've spoken to several of you around, and several ask, you know, to tell a little bit of what AA was like when I came in. I'll try and get to that in just a short order, but I don't like a drunkalogue, but I like to know, how did you get here? You didn't get here because you were so damn smart, I know that. And you didn't get here because you were so good-looking or so pretty or so rich. Those are not the qualifications for membership in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got here because I drank too much, too long, too often. I was born twice over here in Sumter, South Carolina. Once in 1921. That makes me 78 years old. You don't have to do any math. I was born again on February 13th, 1949. I'll tell you a little bit about that a little later. I grew up in the average poor family of the Great Depression. No poverty line. Everybody was poor. There may have been 2 millionaires in South Carolina, the entire state at that time. But I grew up in a loving home. I was the youngest of 4 children. I saw my father drunk one time. And shortly thereafter was his wedding anniversary, December the 23rd, 1930, whatever it was. And he told my mother that he couldn't give her diamonds or jewels, but he'd give her his promise that he wouldn't drink again. And he didn't have AA. He was a church member and a Christian, and he lived by that. My dad later became a policeman, shot and killed by a bootlegger in the line of duty. I may have bought whiskey from the man that killed my father. I don't know, and it really doesn't matter. At the time I bought liquor from him, I didn't know he was going to shoot my dad. I started drinking at just short of 15. For years I have said I started drinking at 15, and the other day I said, you started drinking 1936, you're born in 21. That ain't for 15 years, or 14 years, Russ. So anyway, I started on Rimini White Lightning. Now, if you've never had White Lightning, you ain't been drunk. I mean, that stuff was so good it'd make you love your mother-in-law. It would send you home talking to yourself. You could get a half gallon for a dollar and a quarter, and if you bought more than one, you could get them for a dollar apiece. And quite often, we high school boys, we'd go down there and we'd get up our quarters together and we'd get us a jar, or if we happened to get a little work that week, we'd get two jars. Get drunk, get sick, and puke. My wife says, Russell, don't say that word. I said, Margaret, alcoholics do not regurgitate. We puke when we get drunk. Did you ever wake up with the mocking bird outside your bedroom window? Do you know what the mocking bird says in the morning with the hangover? Get up, get up, get up, get dressed, get dressed, get dressed. Go to town, get whiskey, get drunk, get sick, puke, 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 puke. Ah, that mocking bird been around your house, eh? Yeah. Uh-huh. I can't take credit for that. Walk of Wind gave me that back in 1949. And he was an old-timer then. But I've never forgotten it, and I like that. So I drank, got drunk, and I had to cut corners and hide. My dad's a policeman. What I would do, I would spend the night with some of my drinking buddies whose parents let them get away with it. But they didn't get as drunk as I got drunk. And I pretty well kept it hid. I don't know if Dad really knew or if he was just in denial. He never said anything to me about it. But I started drinking in June of 36, and he was shot and killed in April of 37. So I didn't really do a whole lot of drinking before he was killed. And in honor and memory of my dad, who was a hero dying in the line of duty, I didn't drink for 90 days. Wasn't that honorable to me? And then I got drunk and wrecked my mother's only car. And she'd just been widowed for 6 months. And I got my first DUI. And I didn't drink for 6 months because it took my driver's license. And the day I got my driver's license back in the mail, you know where I drove? I drove to Rimini and got a half a gallon of White Lightning. Real smart. I don't know what social drinking is. I thought the idea of drinking was to get drunk. And that's what I did. I drank, got drunk 3 or 4 months at a time. I got in trouble. I'd go on the water wagon. I don't hear that expression anymore lately. But that's when you white knuckle it, you know, and you don't drink. I white knuckle it for 13 months one time, and as soon as I picked up a drink, within 2 hours, I was drunk and didn't know where I was. I had to come in AA to find out what blackouts were. I didn't think anyone remembered what went on after the fourth or fifth drink. We'd go out Friday and Saturday night and get drunk and go to school Monday morning. They said, didn't we have a good time Friday and Saturday night? Yeah, we did. What do we do? I woke up in some awful places. Woke up in jail several times, and that's not a nice waking up. I married a lovely country Christian girl. She walked into it wide open with her eyes. I married her with my eyes wide open. The first night we met, I was drunk, and she was with another man, boy. He went to study for the ministry and was never ordained. After I got sober, I studied for the ministry and had been ordained for over 40 years. She was predestined to be a minister's wife and a good one. So she was going to marry me and fix me. Don't have any Al-Anons here, do you? You know, they're the greatest fixers in the world. I'll fix him. Oh, I stayed sober about 90 days after the honeymoon. And I would drink and get in trouble, and my in-laws would come and beg and plead and cry, and my mother and my sister would come and beg and plead and cry. Never again, never again. I'd go a while and get things just about in order, and then here we'd go again. I don't know about your family. My family started having family conferences. They would be in the kitchen, and I would be in the bedroom dying. And they say, what are we going to do with it? Referring to me. Not even a human being, an it. And God bless them, back then, I never heard the word alcoholic until an AA made a 12-step call on me. I had no idea what it was. I hear people say, you know, I don't like to be called an alcoholic. Hell, that was a compliment to me. I was a damn drunk so long, when they called me alcoholic, I thought I was getting up in the world. I was somebody. I could go along with Betty Ford and Billy Corgan and a few other them celebrities. My wife and I, we were not at odds all the time. We had three children in rapid succession. Eeny, meeny, miny, and no more. And by the grace of God, those three children are now 55, 56, and 57 years old. There's not an alcoholic among them. Thank God. Any one of them will have a social drink. Every one of them honor Alcoholics Anonymous. They're very proud of their dad being in AA, and they never hesitate if they get a chance to say, my dad's a member of AA. Share this story with you that's just 10 days old. My daughter, who lives here in Columbia, is a home care nurse. And one of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous had a horse run away with him the other day and broke his leg in 9 places, and my daughter is calling on him to put him in the program for therapy to come to his house. And she got to the questionnaire, do you use alcohol and tobacco? And he hesitated a little bit. And she was only 4 years old when Daddy came in AA, so she's been around. She knows what AA and alcohol is all about. And she said, oh, don't be embarrassed. My daddy's been in AA around 50 years. He said, you've got to be Russell Strange's daughter. And she is. And she's my pride and joy. My oldest son is a school superintendent up in Pennsylvania. And he was having a district meeting in his school auditorium one day, and I happened to be there visiting with him. And he said, Dad, put on your coat and tie and come on and go to school with me today. And he told me he was having these teachers meeting to come in. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest this morning. My dad. And his greatest claim to fame is that he's been a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous for over 40 years. And 600 school teachers stood up at one time. I stood up and sat down, and when I sat down, the lady next to me said, I wish you could help me with my brother. There's one everywhere you go. Oh, after being in the program a while, I went back to school and studied and became an ordained minister, and then I went in alcohol rehabilitation work for 27 years. I am now fully retired. Now we'll go back. Let me tell you the last drunk before AA, and that will qualify. I left home Friday morning in 1949 Ford, traded it for a Ford Chevrolet and $1,000 cash, tore up the Chevrolet, bought a 37 Plymouth with not a whole fender on it, left the side of the highway and came home hitchhiking 5 days later, and the $1,000 was gone. I think I qualify for membership. And a few days after that, I was here in the program. My oldest sister brought me from Sumter to Columbia. At that time, there was no group in Sumter. My first meeting, as I said, was February 11, 1949. That night, they showed a 30-minute film put out by March of Time News called Alcoholics Anonymous. That film told my story in 30 minutes. A nice, clean, working man goes to work, gets off, stops by the beer parlor, has a few bottles of beer with his buddies, and somebody said, let's go and get a pint of liquor, and they go get the liquor, and he ends up in the jailhouse, and his wife and mother-in-law come and get him out of jail. How do these people know about me? There it was, right there in 30 minutes. And then a tall, handsome man stood up and told his story in about 30 minutes. Bob Mormon, he's dead and gone, most beautiful wavy white hair I ever saw. And Bob said that he had attended some 70 institutions in this country and 7 foreign countries and spent $1 million trying to quit drinking. And he came into Alcoholics Anonymous for free and hadn't had a drink in 5 years. Go without a drink 5 years? That's an eternity. But I believed every word that Bob Mormon said that night. I knew the man wasn't lying, and I never seen or heard of him. But I knew he was sincere and honest. After the meeting, about 5 or 6 men, they're all gone now, Chuck Moore and Pete Berg, Harold Sanford, Dave Wheeler, and a few others, they gathered around me and put their arms out. Oh, we've been looking for you. We need somebody in something to start a group. My first meeting, they want me to start a group. So I was elated, out of this world. I went back home that Friday night, and I wrote a letter to the Sumter Daily Item. I had found help for alcoholism. Anyone interested in getting this help, please write in care of this newspaper, Mr. X. That made me Mr. Anonymous. The first person to answer that ad was my pastor, looking for help for me. And when he found out I was Mr. X and I had found AA, he says, thank God, maybe I can get some sleep now. He was one of the dearest men of God. You know what that, God bless him, he did the best he could. He said, Russell, don't get out here in your car drinking and drunk and wreck and kill somebody and embarrass your wife and your family. But I understand some people have to drink. My daddy does the same thing you do. If you've got to drink, get your whiskey and come over here, and you can sit in my kitchen and drink all you want. And if you want to go home, I'll take you home. If not, I'll put you in bed. And can't you see an alcoholic going to the preacher's house to get drunk? He was as sincere as he could be. That's all he knew. About a year later, he came to see me pick up my first chip, and we gave him a blue chip, made him an honorary member. And he walked around with that chip in his pocket just as proud as he had a $1,000 bill. Well, I would come to Columbia Monday night for the close meeting. I was a traveling salesman. I told my boss what I was doing, and he said, if you see that you're going to run overtime on your route, just leave it. And you go on to your meeting, and we'll get somebody to catch up the next day. You go to those meetings. Friday night was open meeting, and my wife, Margaret was an Al-Anon before Al-Anon was Al-Anon. And she was smart beyond her intelligence. When I'd come home drunk, she would tell the children, 4, 5, and 6 years old, Daddy is sick. And she didn't know how true that was. But her story, she says that I know that Russell was better than that. And that reminds me of the most moving experience I think I had in my drinking. I came home sometime 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what I was doing on the kitchen floor, but about 5:30 the sun was coming up and I was on the kitchen floor and my wife came in and she wasn't very nice. She got on the phone and called my mother. In about 15 minutes, mother was there. My wife said, there's your little boy. You know how sweet those Al-Anons can talk. You know what Mom said? Yes, that's my boy. But he's better than that because I know what to put in it. Just about that time I came to where I could hear those words. In less than 30 days I was in this program. Because my mother said I was better than to be a drunk laying on the kitchen floor. I got my white chip. And by the way, these chips, I understand, I just wrote New York the other day, and they said that as best they can determine, the chip system started in 1942 in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's straight from headquarters. And I didn't even know what the word anonymous meant. I went around and I showed every one of my customers. I'm a member of AA. I'm an alcoholic. And I showed them my chips. And when they would change colors, I would tell them, I changed chips. I got 30 days. We didn't have a 30. I got 90 days, 6 months. We didn't have the 30-day chip back then. Back then, we did 12-step work. That meant that you sat with a sick drunk and you got a cold cough and you wiped the poor devil's head and you held him while he puked and you threw the puke out in the garbage and you would give him, you'd take a little half pint with you and you'd give him a drink to keep him from flying apart and you'd sit there all night if you have to, leave at daylight and go out and work all day and come back and check on him. Shortly thereafter, we got where we could put them in the hospital in Sumter, and we could call them an alcoholic, but we had to give them 48 to 72 hours babysitting. What we would do, we'd put this alcoholic in there, and we would take 2 or 4 hour shifts around the clock, and a guy in there sick, and he'd come to, and he would find these 8, 10, 12 strange men sitting there with him while he's sobering up. Well, what is this going to cost me? Nothing. Well, why are you fellows doing this? Because we love you, and somebody did it for us. And we had an undertaker, Craig Hurst, God bless him. He was supposed to get a 45-year chip last June. And he died in May. I was Craig's sponsor. Craig was a night man, and he always took the 2 to 4 shift in the morning. That was when television went off at 2 o'clock and you got the snow. So this Chevrolet mechanic, he's been there. He's been drunk on vacation, and we'd put him in the hospital, and he didn't know where he was. And he came to, and he recognized the undertaker in the room with him. He said, "My God, I'm dying. His praise amazing me up for the casket." Dave Gear, that was the man's name. He's dead and gone on. But that's the way we did it. Sheriff Bird Parnell, sheriff of Sumter County for 28 years, he loved AA, and we would invite him on open meeting night, and he spoke to us several times, and he gave us encouragement. We had two rooms in the county jail. AA could take a man or a woman and put them in the blue room, that's what we called it. And we could take a drink of liquor in there to keep that poor devil from flying apart and going in DTs with the approval of the sheriff. And if we happened not to have a drink, he would get more than out of evidence and he would give it to us. And we missed that. You get bonds and you sit and hold a man's head or a woman's head and you nurse them to sobriety. There's an expression, there is that exercise of love. Well, there were not too many groups, and you couldn't go to 90 meetings in 90 days then, or you'd be driving all the time. So we'd come over to Columbia after we got the Sumter group started. I went to the Coca-Cola company. They had a community room about the size of what we're in here. And I knew Mr. Heath, the Coca-Cola man. I told him what I wanted to do, to have a public meeting to see if we could start AA in Sumter. And about six or eight men from Columbia and five or six men from Orangeburg, five or six men from Florence came to Sumter. And all the public was invited. 60, 75 Sumter people came. The men from Columbia and Florence and Orangeburg, they gave their story in a capsule. And then we said, this is the close of the public meeting, but anyone interested in starting a group of AA in Sumter, please wait after the crowd's gone. We had 11 people that night. Three of us made it, eight of them didn't. Don Mathis was over here in the state detox program the night I got my 21st chip. And Don was on the way to the meeting there in Sumter on Saturday night. And he stopped by one of his old cronies and started drinking and got shot and killed. And if he'd have walked a block and a half without stopping at that house, he'd have been in AA and seen me get my 21-year chip. But for the grace of God, that could have been any one of us. We got the group started in something. Mr. Edwin Boyle gave us an abandoned beauty parlor, knee-deep in trash, magazines, and newspapers. And he said, "You fellows clean that up, and you can have it rent-free. Nobody's using it." And J.L. Mooneyham, who has died with about 20 years sobriety, good sobriety, J.L. and I, we were the co-founders of Sumter Group. And we went to a furniture store, and we told them the story that we were alcoholics, we were in AA, and we were staying sober one day at a time. Alcoholics Anonymous can own nothing, but we've got this empty room up there and we need a little furniture. Now, you giving this furniture to Russell and Mooney, not to AA. And they gave us a linoleum rug to put on the floor and a desk and a chair and a couch. And they got rid of that desk when they built the new clubhouse in Sumter about 10 years ago. That one desk lasted 40 years. Mooney never did go back out. I went out for 4 days and came back. Well, that room needed painting. And what we did, I would go and buy a quart of paint instead of a quart of liquor, and I'd buy the color that I liked. And Mooney would go buy the color that he liked. And Belton would buy the color that he liked. And we had the rainbow room. Every color under the sun. One day I was up there painting on Saturday afternoon, and Mr. Ball called my house, and my six-year-old answered the phone. He said, "Son, is your dad there?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "You know where he is?" He said, "Yeah, he's at the AA club." He said, "You know what that AA club is?" He said, "No, sir, but it makes my daddy a good daddy." 6 years old, he recognized the difference. And our kids grew up in AA open meetings, right on the front row. We didn't have the money for a babysitter. They never broke the anonymity of any of the numbers. They laughed at the drunk stories right with the rest of us. And they were petted and pampered with all the numbers. Teacher said, "Oh, you from Sumter. Wonder if your daddy knows Mr. J.L. Mooneyhan." He said, "Yes, ma'am, they in AA together." And she said, "Thank goodness, that's where Mr. Mooneyhan belongs." And just before I left Sumter, they elected me as area chairman. I believe you call it district now. But that meant that I had Sumter to Myrtle Beach, Florence, Marion, Mullins, Conway. There were 13 groups in my area. I visited each one of those groups for a meeting, and I gave a talk that AA is Bill and Bob. And then there's Tom, Dick, and Harry. And then there's 100 people, and then there's 1,000 people, and then there's 10,000. And AA is up north, and then it comes south, and then it goes overseas, and now it's around the world. AA is more than what you see here in Columbia, or there in Charleston, or Spartanburg, or Greenville. And we used to have a program that you sent New York $1 for every year you were sober. I still do. I sent them $49 just a couple months ago. Birthday offering. $49 for 49 years sobriety, that is a bargain. That's gratitude. So I visited these groups and did the best I could to try to explain to the new members what AA, that it's bigger than this little group here. And back then, if you had 15 or 20 at an open meeting, you were doing great. I was privileged, and it was a privilege. I went to Camden to help them get started in Camden. I went over there to speak one night. Mooney went with me. I could tell Mooney's story. He could tell mine. We were riding buddies. At that Camden meeting, there was a fellow, Tom, that came down to DuPont from Maryland, and he wanted to get AA started. And he had a pigeon that was drinking. He had another one that passed out, and there was Mooney, and I was up there telling my story. And I said, "Fellas, I'm going to tell the whole thing. I'm not going to cut it short. And if you pass out on me, that's all right. I'm going to tell it." And I told it. Then I went over to Hartsville and helped them start a group in Hartsville. After 5 years in the program, I had the call to the ministry, and I quit traveling with a wife and 3 children, and less than $100. Now, this is the 11th step in this life of Russell Strange. You remember what it says? Sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with the God of my understanding, praying only for His will for me, not for my wife and children, not for my sponsor, not for my boss man. "Lord, what would you have Russell to do?" You know what he said? "Go and become a Presbyterian minister." And I said, "Look, Lord, I'm not supposed to argue with you, and you're not supposed to make mistakes, but I believe you slipped up here." And he said, "Russell, would you read the last clause of the 11th step of the AA program? And the power to carry that out." I went to graduate school without even graduating from high school. For 3 years, I studied every night to midnight. I did not graduate at the top of the class, neither did I graduate at the bottom of the class. But I graduated cum, thank the Lordy. And I was ordained when I was 36 years old. That's 42 years ago. And I'm still preaching and teaching when and wherever I can. I do not preach today. Yeah, that's not what I'm here for. I share my experience, strength, and hope that some suffering alcoholic might get to meet the God of my understanding or his understanding or her understanding. I served a couple of terms on the South Carolina State Convention Committee. 1955, I was privileged to go to St. Louis, Missouri for the International, the second International. And there on the stage, I met Bill Wilson, Lois Wilson, and Bill Wilson's mother in a wheelchair. What a privilege, what a privilege. In 1965, I went to Toronto, Canada, to the International, and someone was mixed up enough to put me on the program, one of the programs at the International in Toronto. We had about 10 or 15,000, but we had smaller meetings, and I spoke at one of the smaller meetings. And Manny Berger, a Jew boy from here in Columbia, he introduced this Protestant pastor. And I said, where in the world but in AA could you have a Jew rabbi introduce a Protestant preacher to speak to the crowd? That's AA. We cross all kinds of lines. 1975, 75 or 80 of us chartered an airplane from Richmond, Virginia to Denver, Colorado. And Richmond that morning, they said, would the friends of Bill W. please go to gate 43 for boarding your plane? Hundreds of people in that airport had no idea who the friends of Bill W. were. But we knew. We got on that plane, and we had the serenity prayer before we took off. After we got airborne, the pilot came over the intercom, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, this is my 1849th flight, and this is the only airplane I ever lifted off the ground that didn't have a drop of alcohol on it. And those stewardess, they went from seat to seat. Tell me your story. Tell me your story. They were thrilled to have us. I mean, we got super service. When we landed in Denver, we stood, including the stewardess, and held hands and said the Lord's Prayer before we deplaned. On the way back, we got Bill's book introduced out there at Denver, and most of us bought a copy of it, and we sent it around the airplane, and everybody signed it, including the stewardess. And they had one chief stewardess on there, and he came around, and he said, y'all are the finest, nicest people that I have ever flown with in my life. We just love having you and hope you'll fly with us again. What a tremendous experience. Then in 1980, we were privileged to go to New Orleans. And I love this story. On Thursday afternoon in New Orleans, the International, meeting in the Superdome, out in front of one of the 10 or 12 different hotels, but the main hotel where the headquarters were. Several men went out with their name tags on. And this drunk walks up and he said, what them badges for? And I said, well, members of Alcoholics Anonymous. Maybe I would have joined that outfit. I've been drunk for 30 days. And they said, do you really want help? He said, yeah.